Like to do a theme for all five services on the what it means to be created in the image of God. It's interesting, the first time I spoke at Maranatha, this says, some of you can't read this, for your driver's test I would like you to point, anyway, let go and let God. And the first time I was here, this is a secret I don't think I've ever told, my sermon was let go and let God, question mark. And it was to be a criticism of that phrase because it was about Philippians chapter 2 where it says, work out your own salvation, your Christian life, your good health, with fear and trembling, and then God works in you. We work together. This is about worry, you guys. So I'm not, there's two ways to use the phrase. But when I got up here and saw that, I changed the title of my sermon to Why Maranatha is Wrong. And it went over big. By the way, all five talks, just so you know about where I am on the sermon and also the verses, are on an outline. A few of you got it, but on the way out, you might want to get it for other mornings. Now join me, please, at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Basic issue. And I want at the end of the week and at the end of even today that you can explain what it means to be made in the image of God. It certainly doesn't mean that we look like God because God doesn't look like. He is spirit. But what does it mean in this special rendering of creation, which I believe is clearly from God and written for us to honor Him as Creator and Lord? Rejoice, ye pure in heart. It says, and God said, it kept saying, and God said, and God said, and God said, and it happened. Every time, God said, and there it was. And then in verse 26, then God said, let us, have fun with that if you like, I think it's Trinity, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, whoa, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So it's fine to ride a horse or kill a chicken. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he repeats it. Male and female, he created them. So the issue is, and I know you've heard this many times, that we're made in the image of God, but what does it mean? What does it mean for our lives? It means you turn on your clicker. That's what it means. And it means, well, let's spend the week on this, but I'll try to summarize the week this morning, that we're created by fiat, by the word and work of God in His image. Why does any life matter? Why do babies matter? Why does it matter how you treat your wife or your single life or your husband? Why does it matter what we think about other people and how we treat them? The Haggai Institute, I've known about them for about 50 years, do a wonderful job around the world. They are a part of every nation like that. Why does it matter to connect with another nation that doesn't even like us maybe at first? Everybody you worked with was made in the image of God, huh? What does that mean? How should we look at other people, especially when they're mean to us and you can get even? Created in the image of God. Whoa, it's a huge issue. And it is one of the most basic things about being a person rather than just a creature. The works of God are creation and salvation. Any questions? The Bible begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Ta-da! Any questions? It's a huge issue. And he made humans as persons. There were creatures everywhere. No cow. Some of you have cows. I don't mean with you here at Maranatha, but I mean at home. No cow turns to his neighbor, his friend cow, and says, "Isn't it good that we get to give milk for the kids in Grand Rapids? I can't wait to get in. I feel like I'm contributing." I've done studies of cows. None of them do that. Just kidding, but they don't. They're creatures. You can say, "Yeah, but our dog's trained, or our cows go in a certain line in order." Yeah, I understand that. But they don't have conscience, and they don't think, "Hot dogs, we get to..." What does it mean to be made in the image of God? Let's look at it in one sentence and maybe apply it to our lives. First part of the sentence, we were created. Now that's so simple to say, and it's another thing to worship. It's another thing to honor our Creator. The two great works of God, creation and salvation, as mentioned, are the two things you can't talk about in many schools. The greatest things God did on his job resume, if he had to have one, would be issues accomplished, creation of the universe, salvation of all who believe. And those are the two great works of God that people either shrug their shoulders at or never hear about. Hello, do you honor him as your creator? It means he made you. He's the Lord of life. He's the Lord who made us. And he did it by his word. Now, you can differ with this. I really wouldn't argue with you. If you want to say it took a long time, okay. But the Bible seems to imply that by F-I-A-T, fiat, in the image of God, and God said, and there was, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was no committee to invent light, no rush of angels to bring batteries down or a solar system. Boom, there was light. If he says it, it is so. Do you believe that? When God split the Red Sea and allowed his people to go across, I don't believe there was a committee of workers who came down to divide the water. He said it, and it is so. Even Jesus at the Sea of Galilee, when there's a big storm, says two words, "Peace, stop it." That's three, but stop. Two words. And because he said it, the wind stopped. No angels came down and said, the committee on weather didn't have to go into action. No, he says it. That's a huge issue in the Bible. If God says it, it is so. Because he says it, it is so. When Jesus stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus, as he will someday, in a sense, stand in front of your tomb if you're in Christ, he just said, "Lazarus, come on out." And Lazarus listened. He didn't hear anything else. And by the way, if he says you are forgiven, it is so, whether you feel it or not, if you are in Christ. We were created. That's huge. And we were created in his image, which means somewhere in every language they could invent an alphabet, or they could learn to write, or they could converse, or they could go to the moon. Our friend from the chapel where I was in Akron, Ohio, is one of the managers of the extravehicular spacewalks. And he had us tune in recently when they're out there. They could figure out how they can get outside their vehicle and do some changing of batteries and some other things. Perhaps many of you have done that. Change batteries in your light bulb, in your flashlight. They're up there in space. Why? Because we're made in God's image. We are very smart. And God made a universe 93 billion light years across. Whoa. That means Hubble telescope tells us this, that if you started at that side of the universe, I won't go any further than this, 93 billion light years later, 93 billion years later, traveling at 186,000 miles per second, you would be at the other side of the universe. He made that. And I believe he just said, let there be a universe. Do you ever bow your knee to him and say, whoa, or look? The Bible is full, redundant with themes. Michael Card, I do warm-ups for him all over the country this way. We'll sing or speak of that, all the greatness of God. And in many lives, it's limited, and in all of us, it's a struggle because we're selfish, but we were created in the image of God. So the second part, let's talk about that image. What does it mean? We are the only people, the only persons, the only spirits, the only creatures, if you will, who were made differently. Human beings, starting with our parents, Adam and Eve, were made in the image of God. And there's been all kinds of theories about what makes human beings unique. I don't want to give a lecture. I don't want to be scientific about this, but pastoral. It means that we had special abilities. Now, years ago, when I was in seminary, James Orr's textbook was everybody's textbook on the image of God. James Orr, O-R-R. And he said, people have self-consciousness. They have the ability to think. They have these, they're called ontic abilities, that they're able to decipher. They look in the mirror and make decisions or evaluate. They get on a scales and moan. No hippopotamus ever did that. Human beings say, I love you. Or, please forgive me. Have you said that recently? It's part of what it means to be a person made in the image of God. It's repeated 5-6 times in the New Testament. Only there it's about being restored to the image. Huh? Restored to the image of God. But people still, no matter who they are or what they believe, can compete and worship, can select colors. We train horses and tell dogs to sit. We are dominant in many ways. Maybe our highest ability as a human being is to worship, one that many people neglect. Do you ever just bow your knee or pray in your chair and not ask for a thing but worship? In the image of God means all of those things. It makes us different from animals. Even your German Shepherd or your Border Collie, who are supposed to be the smartest of dogs, if your dog is acting up and he's a Border Collie, read to him some of the things they say about Border Collies. Even those never say to each other or text each other and say, let's go out barking tonight. Or let's hit the garbage cans on Rudy Road. What do you think? No, they just do it. Instinct. Indeed, there are people who live like that. We were made in the image of God, and it makes us different. By the way, I think this is interesting. You decide. Because we're made in the image of God, it says in Genesis 9, don't murder anybody. If you're thinking about murder, don't do it. That person was made in the image of God. Especially, don't do it here at Maranatha. It's so hard on our reputation. But it also says, you've already read ahead, don't gossip. Huh? Because in both verses it says, Because that person was made in the image of God, His special love. So human beings made in the image of God. But what does it mean? I use the word I never use, ontic. Yeah, you read about the image of God, you have to use it. We compete. It's the inherent abilities which are already in you and which make us different. All of us have that. Every evil criminal has ontic abilities. He chooses to pull the trigger. You choose to gossip. You have that ability. But there's more. The ontic, the innate abilities, the creature become person abilities are all part of us, and they make possible something more, because only human beings are spiritual. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are a spirit who has a body, not a body who has a spirit? The real Knute Larson, yes, I was named for the Notre Dame coach. I saw one Notre Dame shirt come in here today. Tomorrow morning, I would like all of you to wear your Notre Dame shirts. And I have them for sale if you'd like to purchase them. I pastored 44 years, found two kids who would root for Notre Dame with me. I made them associate pastors at the chapel. No, but we are made in the image of God, even when we were bratty, when we were little. But it's so much more than just being a person. Those things, all of those abilities that you have, listen carefully, in the Bible, make possible that you can know God, love Him, cry and laugh in His name, worship, and be connected with Him like this. Is that good? Is that everything? The choices that we make, the personality that we are, the spirit that lives within us is able, because God made us in His image, to reach up and be restored to His reflection part of the image, to be connected with Him again. In the morning to come, we'll spend the whole time on what happened in the fall to Adam and Eve. What did it mean? They still had God's image abilities, but they no longer had any reflection of God. They hid. They were scared of God. Hello. So the image, I'll look at the New Testament in a moment, reminds us that we can reflect God and know Him. The cross. We took a survey at the chapel once, and I was so disappointed with how many Christians, or at least church attenders, answered the question, how do you know you're united with God or connected with Christ forever? And there were all kinds of answers. I was baptized when I was 12. I've always gone to church. I was raised in a Christian home. Then there were great answers about justification. Do you know what happened at the cross? When Jesus died, every one of your sins was put on Him. Every one of them. So that He actually cried out in agony as a person, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" In the hell that He faced, my sins were being paid for and yours. And the moment you put your faith in Him and who He is and what He did, that counts for you. That gets you from minus 2 million, or for me, maybe minus 3 million, up to zero. Nobody goes to a heaven with a zero. The second part of salvation is when you believe in Christ, listen, your faith is counted as righteousness. You are now covered as a gift with the righteousness of Christ. It's called imputed, or given, or declared. It's like saying salt is pepper. God says your faith is righteousness, and it's the gift of righteousness of Jesus Christ. Whoa. So that to be in Christ is not to say, oh, I believe, yep, well, the demons believe. True and false test to a demon. Jesus is the Son of God. True. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. True. Jesus rose from the grave. True. I was there. But a person who puts their faith in Christ, stop worrying if you do that. Start believing if you don't. Your sins are judged. Your faith counts as righteousness. The gift covers you. Now live like this. So in the New Testament, we read that to be restored to the image of God, restored to relationship, is to bring Christ into your life. Because Christ is the perfect image of God. Do you believe that? And then, do you believe in Him, personal Lord and Savior? Your sins? Stop saying, I think I'm being punished for my sins. I've heard that so many times, and I stop them and say, nonsense. Your sins were punished. The punishment of sin is death, hell. Jesus did it. Now, when you believe in Him, His goodness covers you in God's eyes. That's the greatest gift in the world. And then live like this. Join me in Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. At least listen, but Ephesians chapter 4. And all this week we'll look at the New Testament and what this means. If you're warm, you're welcome to take your vest off. I'll be fine. We had a 30-second and a 60-second minute spots at the chapel in Akron. And one time I did one standing with three horses. We had a camp, and the horses I had trained to just stand beside me. No, they were all on sedatives. And they stood there, and I did the spot on that these gorgeous horses do not have souls. And I tried to explain that human beings are different and made in the image of God. I didn't use those phrasings then, but I got so many emails from horse owners. You're telling me, some of them are so mad. If you're a horse owner and you're mad, don't say anything right now. I'll be glad to talk to you on Saturday. And they wrote to me and they said, you don't know our horses. Our horses, you can see it in their eyes that they have a soul. I didn't argue. I just said, I'm sorry. I apologize. Please tell your horse I'm sorry. No. Human beings are the ones who can know God. Now watch Ephesians 4. In verse 19, trust me, in the context, he's talking about new life and he's talking about the old way. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. These are people made in the image of God. These are all unbelievers. This is me until I was 5 or 6. I was a gangster in the nursery. They have given themselves up to sensuality, ready to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him and the truth is in Jesus. As the truth is in Jesus. How? To put off your old self. That's you without Christ. To put off the normal Adam and Eve way to live without God after you sin. Put it off. And it says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, made brand new in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Whoa. The new self, I'll say it in brevity, Is Christ in you, your combination life, you with Christ? Is that you? Is that you, or is this you trying to be holy and trying to be righteous? Give up. You'll never make it. The old self really likes to flunk. The new self, Christ in you, it says, is after the likeness of God, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So the image of God includes our choices and our abilities, but also that we can choose to live in Christ and to image Him. So make it a verb. We were created in the image of God to image God, to reflect God. Serious. People should be able to look at me and look at you and say, he has a love or a joy or a peace or patience and the other evidences of God's Spirit that I don't see in my own life or in others. We were made in the image of God to reflect or image God. And it happens when we receive Jesus Christ. That's the start, but it happens as we grow in Him and know Him. Do you believe that? Kids, you're not just a kid. You're not just a person. You're not just a football player or a soccer player or someone who knows how to play the piano. You are a person who can know God and show by your forgiveness, by your worship, by your love, show what Jesus Christ is like in a life. Will you do that? That's what it means to be a person linked to God, the one creature that He made that was person, that was spirit, was to know Him. And for that, we need a lot of help. I think it means I have to ask God for help every day. I think it means I have to do something to check my life. Maybe have friends that will do it and tag me out also. By the way, how could this happen? And now we see on national television a policeman kneeling on a black man's neck for 8 minutes. How could this happen? How can this be that human beings in anger can kill others or set fires or be mean? Because you can have amazing abilities and not be linked with your Creator. So we have wars and rumors of wars. We have nations that are just built on slavery. We have people who treat their employees like slaves because they have amazing abilities from God, but they do not image God. My work is now coaching churches and pastors, and I meet a lot of churches and pastors and boards where I think, holy smokes, that's what you're allowed to say in church, by the way. Where's the love of Christ here in forgiveness like this? We were made to image God. The image of God is not first abilities, it's abilities that make possible this relationship so we could image God. Do you do that? If you're married, would your husband or wife say, yeah, I see growth, I see characteristics of the eternal God. Don't make it like your Creator. Make it like you show love and joy and peace and patience. Back to the evidence of God in our lives. This means you don't gossip or put somebody down. You love them in spite of it. This means in church you look up and realize no creatures do this. People do this. Spirits connected with God worship Him and love Him. And to do that, you need help. Once I was coaching a church actually in Toronto. And I'd done a whole Saturday thing with the board, and then Sunday spoke and Sunday evening, and then I was sitting in the pastor's home. Let's say his name's Kevin. That's his real name, but you always say that's not his real name because you don't want to get sued. And we're on live stream. Thank you for staying awake in your living rooms. So we're seated in a condominium, and they had a gorgeous piano just like this in a small condominium. And so I said to his wife, Goethe, do you play the piano? And she said, no. She said to me, do you play the piano? I said, well, yes, I play by ear and not very good. I quit taking lessons because I was going to make it big in football. And neither one happened. She said, well, play something for us. And I said, like you're supposed to say, oh, no, no, I don't want to. And she said, no, please. Well, I'm a guest. And I went over to the piano. And I said, well, what's your favorite hymn? And she happened to say, Oh, Worship the King. So I played played the whole thing, I think. She said, well, can you play anything classical? Well, Janine and I have a daughter named Elise. I said, I can play for Elise. She said, we'll play it. And then I stopped. She said, well, play the whole thing. I said, no, no. That's all I know. I didn't keep it up. We were having lemon meringue pie. It had a real thick meringue on the top, in case you're taking notes. And it struck me, Newt, that's what I call myself, Newt, ask him if he plays the piano. So I said, Kevin, do you play the piano? He said, yeah. Play something for us. So he went over to the piano. I'm not exaggerating, honest. I'll always tell you when I'm lying or exaggerating. He went over to the piano and played for a half hour. I had played Key of F, that's all I can play very well, Oh, Worship the King, Few Measures of Fur Elise. He hit every white note, every black note, played jazz, I love jazz, he played the most beautiful jazz I've ever heard for a half hour. I named a couple tunes. I know some show tunes that Beverly Shea sang and a few others. Honest, he played for the whole half hour, and I'm just laughing, and I said when we came back to the table, Kevin, what if I never would have asked you? All you would have heard was, Worship the King, one flat, Two Measures of Fur Elise. What if you never asked Jesus Christ to live within you, and as a Christian even, to help you honor why you were created? Why you were made, created by the Word of God to image God. You'll make it through. You'll play in the key of F. You'll be a good church member, perhaps. But you can call attention to how God changes a life. You can show love where it's, if you're an investor and you make a killing one day for the Dow Jones, you can either take it and be selfish, or you can give God worship and praise and use it to benefit people as well as yourself. If you're an 11-year-old girl and you're athletic and you have great parents, you can either start getting proud and live like a big dog that wins the show, or you can honor God with your abilities and live a life of choice in union with Christ. A great athlete can either call attention to himself in the mirror and stand and lead any kind of feelings in this country, or he can stand and champion the cause of love and remedy and reconciliation. Made in the image of God, we were made to represent Him and to be what He wants us to be. Will you do that? You know, in creation, the heavens declare His glory. I think He put the 93 billion light years up there just so we'd go, oh. Don't look at a sunset and say, well, let's see, I can count nine colors up there. No, look at a sunset and worship and say, God. Don't look at a new baby and say, isn't he cute? Not all of them are at first. But look at a baby and say, thank you to God. And look at other people as if they're made in His image, and don't murder them, but don't gossip. Love them because you're united with Christ. Will you do that? Will you keep doing that? To be made in the image of God is crucial. We show and talk about His glory. Don't be afraid to say, do you know who did that when you see the sunset? We help each other like Christ helps us, like God is the great helper. We talk about the glory of Christ and His clear ways of love if we're in Christ. Some of you know the name Lee Atwater. I love to tell the story of his conversion. He was chairman of the Republican Party. If you're under 40, let me tell you, he was a mean man in Washington, D.C., head of the Republican Party. And George H.W. Bush, who was known as a kind man, well, Lee Atwater did those dirty ads against Dukakis, was mean. Time magazine, I have the cover at home, called him the demon in D.C. Whoa. But he got a brain tumor, and he started to die, and he knew it. The fifth person, this is what he said, the fifth person who told him to call Doug Coe, C-O-E, he called him. Doug Coe is a quiet man who just went to heaven last summer, but he discipled and led to Christ many, many senators, met with all kinds of leaders quietly at Fellowship House in Washington, D.C. Doug Coe helped Lee Atwater combine with Christ. And he discipled him, helped him in the closing months of his life. But Lee Atwater kept dying. At the presidential prayer breakfast started by Doug Coe, my friend Ron was there. And he said, after the speaker, they had everybody be seated. The president sits here and the vice president and their spouses. They wheeled a guy in a wheelchair, and everybody in Washington knew it was Lee Atwater. And they announced his name, and others knew him as the demon, but he had been changed. He had been restored to Christ. And he could barely talk. He would die 3 weeks later, but this is what he said, and I leave it with you. There are only two questions in life. Do you love Jesus Christ? Does it make a difference in your life? And they wheeled him off, and he would die soon. And the questions remain for me and for you. Do you love Jesus Christ? And do you image Him, reflect His glory and His goodness as you grow in Him? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Jesus, the Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth. We worship Him as the one who said, peace, be still, stop it to the storm. As the one who said to Lazarus, come forth, as the one who said to all of us in Scripture, you are forgiven in Christ. Thank you for Jesus. As you pray, if He is Savior and Lord, thank Him. Just thank Him and ask for help to live in combination, to image Him. And if you're not sure, you just kind of believe the facts, won't you put your faith in Christ and what He did on the cross and accept His righteousness by faith, believe, and tell someone today. Thank you, God. Thank you for the wonderful, amazing abilities you have to make a sun shine and to make people, help people love and have your joy and peace. We pray in the name of the one who walked on water and raised the dead and will come back to the world someday to show it is his. Jesus. Amen.